Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a loaded Tuesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. In 1 hour from now, I'm going to make an announcement. I've never done this. 1 hour from now. It is crazy. I can't believe the opportunity tonight. And I'm not going to give it...
No, I think I know what it is.
I cannot believe what's happening. Joy Taylor is joining me. In 1 hour, I'm going to announce it. I've never done this before. So in 1 hour, this is crazy.
I think I know what you're talking about. There's a lot of firsts for in that department for you.
Yes, there are a lot
recently.
Of firsts.
Yes.
I cannot believe the opportunity. I want to start with this. You know what? You ever heard this, Joy? When people say, well, you're rich, you live in a bubble. You've heard that term before, right? And I think it's a very fair criticism of the American media. That the American media, the network people, New York, LA, DC, they live in a bubble. You know, they don't have real problems and real dilemmas and the real obstacles a lot of Americans have. You live in a bubble. I think that's a real criticism of the American media. You don't get our pain. You don't see our pain. I agree. I live in a bubble. LA, by the beach. It's a bubble, right? It's not like typical. And but does Kevin Durant realize he lives in a basketball bubble? He's got a coach that used to be a player that handles the media brilliantly. In fact, Steve Kerr was a broadcaster and a good one. He's got a GM that was a player. Bob Meyer, they say, is the egoless general manager. He's one of the only ones in the NBA. He's got no ego. You're well-funded. Steph Curry's great. You got the bouncer at the bar, Boogie Cousins, or Draymond Green to protect you. And you have a very soft media in San Francisco, which the Warriors were so bad for so long, they're just happy that you're good. Historically easy media in San Francisco. Because Kevin Durant needs insulation. Kevin Durant right now is living in a basketball bubble. He needs to, because suddenly 6'1" Patrick Beverley is completely in his head. Patrick Beverley. The best basketball player in the NBA is Kevin Durant. Patrick Beverley is in his head. Last night, Durant had 9 turnovers and only took 8 shots. By the way, his own teammate, Draymond Green, got in his head earlier this year. When you go to New York, no Steph, no Clay, no Kerr, no Boogie, no Draymond, no friendly media. Kevin Durant is so easily disrupted. It's incredible. This is a guy where a headline in a newspaper in Oklahoma City, remember that Mr. Unreliable, threw him into a tizzy. He was caught with a burner account on Twitter. He regularly gets testy with the San Francisco media, which is, by any standard, a pretty easy big market media. It ain't Philly. It ain't Boston. It ain't Chicago. It's not New York. Last night, Kevin Durant is being disrupted by Patrick Beverley. Okay, so whenever I hear this saying, man, you media people live in a bubble, I'm always like, yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. This is America's basketball bubble. Kevin Durant has a coach that used to be a player and a broadcaster, an egoless general manager. Actually, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are about as egoless as NBA stars get. You got the bouncer to deal with the tough stuff. Is anybody watching this series? Now, I've always said the Warriors are the best offensive team in my lifetime. I don't think they're the best basketball team. I think Michael Jordan's Bulls are the best basketball team, and this series is a great example. The Clippers are getting physical with the Warriors, and it gives them trouble. The Rockets got physical with them last year, and it got them trouble. I think, what would Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, and Michael Jordan do to the Warriors? They'd push them all over the floor. I do think it's the best offensive team I've ever seen, but I just don't think, I mean, it's perfect for today's finesse basketball. But one of the reasons they brought Boogie Cousins to this team, and he is out until the finals reportedly after that injury last night, is despite all of his baggage, he's a tough guy. And Wayne Gretzky, you ever notice with Wayne Gretzky's hockey teams, they always had a tough guy on the team. You mess with Wayne, we'll send our bouncer over. Wayne Gretzky never played with a team that didn't have a bouncer, didn't have a tough guy. Didn't have a little bit of a hockey thug to beat you upside the head if you got in the way of Wayne Gretzky. But, I mean, I'm watching KD and I'm thinking, this is a guy that went sideways with a headline in Oklahoma City, who's regularly chirping at the San Francisco media, who had a burner account, who gets upset easily, and Patrick Beverley is in his skull. I mean, ain't Patrick Beverley getting Michael Jordan's head, Kobe Bryant's head? Dude, all that stuff's not going to New York with you. Because I've been told Kevin Durant to New York's a done deal. Okay. This is the ultimate NBA bubble. New arena, lot of money, perfect coach, no ego, great teammates, got a bouncer. None of that stuff's going to New York. And I mean, even when he gets occasional pushback in San Francisco, he gets testy with the San Francisco media, which is just a bunch of people wanting you to win because they were terrible for 40 years. Lord. Okay, let's go to the breaking news. Kind of breaking last night late. Russell Wilson has signed a contract with the Seattle Seahawks. He is now officially the highest paid NFL player. It was very interesting, by the way. Russell Wilson made up a deadline. There was no real deadline yesterday except for American taxpayers. It was the tax day. But Russell Wilson said, April 15th, you either give me a new deal or I'm never signing a long-term deal. That was reported by Peter King. That was a make-believe day. I mean, the season didn't start last night and you and I missed it. It was just sort of a make-believe deadline. And Seattle completely caved. And they should have. Why? Because, as multiple sources have now said, which we broke initially a month ago, Russell Wilson was willing to leave. The word was out, and Seattle and Pete Carroll and John Schneider heard the same stories. Tyrann Mathieu's tweet yesterday, we broke this a month ago. We said he will go to New York. He is interested in New York. And now, creating sort of a fake deadline. I mean, don't these things usually take months and months and months? Russell's like, pay me April 15th. Or according to multiple reports, I'm not signing long term. Seattle totally caved. So there's three things I think about this contract. First of all, Seattle did the right thing. Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan, they're going to score a bunch of points in this division. You got to play them twice. And Sean McVay and Jared Goff and that offensive line and Todd Gurley, they're going to score a bunch of points in this division. And you got to play them twice a year. And my gut feeling is Josh Rosen or probably Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, they're going to score a bunch of points in this division. You got to play them twice. So 6 games a year in this division, I don't care how good your defense is, with the new NFL rules, you better drop a 28-burger or a 30-burger or you're losing those games. So Seattle did the right thing. The second thing is Seattle owed Russell Wilson this. Their top wide receiver is Doug Baldwin, undrafted. He's never had a great tight end in his prime. The offensive lines in recent years have been awful. They finally hired a legit coach. It's still an offensive line that's average personnel-wise, and for many years it was terrible. And running backs, they never replaced Marshawn Lynch. He's had overwhelmingly average weapons. You owed him one. Big Ben doesn't have average weapons, ever. Breeze doesn't have average weapons. Phillip Rivers doesn't have average weapons. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have average weapons. Carson Wentz doesn't have average weapons. Aaron Rodgers has had pretty good weapons. Always good offensive lines, by the way. Seattle owed Russell Wilson this. But third, and this is really, really a big one, and this is where I was told Russell got married. You marry a woman, strong woman point of view, they talk to you. And this is where Russell Wilson... This was a nonverbal deadline. Since Russell Wilson arrived in Seattle, the 12th man gets the credit, Pete Carroll gets the credit, Richard Sherman gets the credit, Legion of Doom gets the credit. They were all carrying Russell Wilson, right? That's what you've been led to believe. Short memory, Pete Carroll had been fired twice, went 7-9, 7-9, and was heading into a season with Matt Flynn against, remember those Harbaugh 49er defenses? Yeah, that would have been adorable. Matt Flynn against that defense. And Russell Wilson saved the franchise and saved Pete Carroll's job and saved John Snyder's job and elevated the franchise to a national brand, which it had never been, ever, And now the Seahawks are a national brand. And they're worth probably $1 billion more today than 7 years ago when Russell Wilson arrived. Seattle did the right thing. They owed him one on weapons. But this was Russell Wilson making a demand and absolutely immediately getting his team to cave. Because he was moving. And it was out. And Seattle knew it. And he deserved it. And you owed him one. But this has been Russell Wilson's franchise for several years. This morning, finally, it's official. He's always deserved more credit than he's received. By the way, my staff tells me Russell and his beautiful wife, Ciara, were announcing the new deal last night on social media. Do we have that? Is that the cozy thing? Can I just watch that? Would you run that, please? Thank you.
Hey, Seattle. We got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
So adorable. See y'all in the morning. So adorable. That was so adorable.
He's stunting on him there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Great to have you in. So I'm watching the Clippers last night. They're not going to beat Golden State in a series. It's a seven-gamer. It's tied at one. They overcame a 31-point deficit, largest deficit ever overcome in a playoff game, and the Warriors fell asleep. This is what they do. They do it in the regular season. They generally don't do it at home with a 31-point lead. But they did lose Boogie Cousins, did the Warriors, so they don't have a legitimate big. I think that'll hurt them against Houston. I don't think it'll hurt them necessarily against the Clippers, but the Clippers play their butt off. But I'm sitting here thinking, Kawhi Leonard bought a $15 million home in Southern California. He's from here. And there's a lot of people, over 50%, believe he's going to be thinking about the Clippers or Lakers. If you were sitting watching the Clippers last night and you were Kawhi Leonard, chemistry, coach, roster, toughness, dudes, size, gosh, it's like they're just missing one piece, a really great two-way player. I mean, if you're Kawhi Leonard watching that game, aren't you the only thing they're missing? Right now, the Lakers don't even have a CEO. They don't even have a coach. I mean, just and couple it with this. This is a real thing. Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski, instead of a Woj bomb, this is a Woe bomb. On their podcast, Zach Lowe, reputable guy, well-sourced, said there's a Laker orbit in L.A., and then there's a LeBron orbit. And I've had powerful people in the league tell me, we don't want the person to be from either of those orbits. We don't want the new GM to have any connection to LeBron. My players don't want to have the impression that LeBron is running the team. Well, that's been amplified because now Magic Johnson's gone. So LeBron absolutely is running the team. What does this do with Ty Lue? If you hire Ty Lue, who's probably the best available candidate, oh, now you got Cleveland guy and LeBron, and then do you sign Anthony Davis because that's a Clutch Sports LeBron guy? And I'm sitting there watching that game last night. For years and years, the Yankees have always been the organization of note over the Mets and the Giants over the Jets and the Lakers over the Clippers. But if you compared franchises today, let's stack them up. Location, it's a draw. They both not only play in Los Angeles, but the same basketball facility. And let's go down the line here. And you stack up the Lakers and the Clippers. Owner. Well, Steve Ballmer at this point, the Microsoft gazillionaire, much more stability in ownership. Well, let's go to management. Again, much more stability right now with the Clippers, Jerry West, their analytics team. Let's go head coach. You could argue this is Doc Rivers' best year. The Lakers don't actually currently have one. Let's go to roster. Well, actually, the Clippers have shooters. You know, shooters. Good defensive stoppers. Here's what the Lakers have. Banners and unrealistic expectations. Those two boxes, check, check, Lakers win. So I'm sitting there, if I'm Kawhi Leonard this morning, and I'm watching this Clipper-Warrior series, and I'm watching it last night, and I'm thinking, God, you know what the Clippers could really use? About a 23-a-point-a-game two-way dude. Kawhi Leonard. Now, I'm not saying he's going to leave Toronto, but there's a lot of people in Lakerland that think they have a chance to get him, And there's a lot of people in Clipperland who are a little nervous that the Lakers brand is really something. It's Giants over Jets. It's Yankees over Mets. But I tell you, when you, this has been such a great advertisement. Doc Rivers and the Clippers have done such a tremendous job this year. No egos, no whiners, no complainers. Last night, some of their better players didn't get on the floor. They had a rotation that was working. Their energy, they're laughing, they're fun, they play hard, they play physical. What an advertisement. When, they're going to lose this series, but what an advertisement for Kawhi Leonard or any free agent.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Every year I do something called the Blazing Five. And I don't bet college games. I don't really bet anything. I love betting NFL football. And because I don't believe, years ago when I lived in Las Vegas, there was a guy named Lem Banker. He was a professional sports gambler. And Lem was kind of a legend. And I remember the advice he gave me early. He said, don't bet everything. Figure out something you know and love and just bet it. He goes, become a specialist. And so, you know, I'll bet a handful of college football games, the big ones. But I bet the NFL. And I take a lot of pride in it that I've hit close to 60% for about a decade straight. It's hard. Professional handicappers try to get 57.5 to 58. I've gotten 60 once, 55 and above every year. I've never had a bad year. Last year was a very good year for us. Joy was here. It was about 57-58%. We were absurdly hot in the playoffs. We were really hot in the playoffs to get us close to 60%. We're very proud of that. I don't bet the NBA. I did occasionally years ago, but we have a show on this network called Lock It In. I'm going to make a bet through Rachel Bonetta, I think, because there is a bet tonight. And by the way, I don't want you to bet this because I'm not an expert on NBA lines and the fluctuation over-unders. But I check lines all the time. Oklahoma City, if you don't know how betting works, is getting points tonight. So Portland, the inferior team who just won game one, is the favorite tonight. What? Vegas made a mistake. Oklahoma City's winning this game. So Oklahoma City shot 15% from threes. 5 for 33. 15%. And we're down by three with 5 seconds left on the road. And Paul George's shoulder hurt. And Portland's the favorite tonight? The game with 7-8 seconds left was a game. Oklahoma City was terrible. Paul George, who was my MVP at the All-Star break, Paul George was, let me see the number here, he shot 33% from the floor. And Russell Westbrook, and I'm critical of Russell, he's a roller coaster, but generally if he's not good, he usually bounces back with a pretty good effort. Billy Donovan's a good coach. Damian Lillard was so hot at one point, I don't think Portland can duplicate that. So let me just... I'm going to get a close up here. I'm going to grab my wallet out of my pants just casually, see what I have in it here. Hold on. There's my wallet.
That's how you carry your money around.
That's
huh?
how I carry my, I just have a little bit of money in my wallet. I'm betting all of it on Oklahoma City tonight. I'm going to make a bet. Can I say how much I'm going to bet? No, that would be too tacky. I'm going to bet the most money I've ever bet, not in a sporting event, because that would be $1,000. I did that a couple times. I'm going to bet the most money I can morally and financially withstand for an NBA game tonight. I do not want anybody else to bet this. Do not. Don't listen to me. I'm just letting you know when you watch the game tonight.
What you are going to do with
Daddy
all your money.
Has pushed all his chips to the table on Oklahoma City.
Westbrook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little weird for you.
Well... he's not my favorite player. I'm not denying he's talented.
Don't you feel like you're teasing karma a little bit with that?
No.
No.
I'm not Daddy's not teasing. Daddy's going all chips in. I am literally just ran. I'm taking every penny in my wallet on Oklahoma City tonight. Please do not listen to me. Don't whine on Twitter if you bet a fortune and can't pay your cable bill. This is on me tonight. I'm just letting you know authentically. I'm going to do some transparency. I am betting huge on OKC tonight.
Well, you don't think it's maybe a trap?
No, I don't. I think the guys in Vegas were drunk. I don't think they watched game one. Oklahoma City can't shoot 15% again.
I'm with you on that.
You know, I don't want to brag, but this is how mostly this is what I just this is what my wallet looks like at all times.
I would suggest probably carrying a little less cash, and maybe we can all, you know, put our monies together.
Okay,
and
I'll make
a deal. Wallet.
If Oklahoma City wins tonight, how about pizza party after Wednesday show? How about that? Uncle Colin buys pizza for the whole staff.
Toppings?
Whoa, slow down.
I accept that.
Okay. I cannot wait for tonight. I cannot wait. Sausage and pepperoni.
Ooh.
If you win, we'll get you a frozen pizza. You can
eat
it.
There we go. All right, let me shift to this. Okay, so Russell Wilson signed a contract. Now, on this show, most of you think I love the Seahawks and hate the Packers. But I've always believed honesty is the key to this show and transparency. I would have paid Aaron Rodgers everything they paid him in Green Bay. And I would have paid Russell Wilson everything they paid him. I would love to get a discount. That's not realistic. Aaron's not made the big boy money yet. He does now. Russell's not made the big boy money yet in the NFL. He does now. It's easier for Brady, not because of his wife, but because Brady's made all those millions. Brady's at the end of his career. Tom Brady should take financial concessions now to have a better roster. But I'm not going to ask Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson to never take the big check. That's unfair by me. Russell has earned it. Aaron has earned it. They should take every penny of it. Now, I do think if Aaron's playing 9 years from now, Aaron should take concessions to have better corners, a better pass rush, and a better right tackle. But Russell deserves the money, and so did Aaron. But I got to tell you, I think Aaron Rodgers is in a very good spot, better than Russell Wilson going forward. The Green Bay Packers, realizing 2 years ago that they were going to have to pay Aaron, got very smart about their defense. Anytime Aaron's had a good defense, Aaron has won big. So 2 years ago, they drafted a corner out of Washington, Kevin King. This past year, Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson they drafted, they're cheap. And they're both, Alexander's a monster player. Then they went out and got mid-level free agents. So they have added six potential starters at a reasonable price going forward. And Green Bay has a history in recent years of drafting very well. So Green Bay knew they were going to pay Aaron. And so they went out and said, we got to get a cheap defense. We got to draft defense, defense, defense. They also have two first-round picks this year. I would not be shocked if Green Bay didn't go back to defense because they have their offensive line settled. So I think going forward, Aaron's contract is not going to be as big a roadblock as Russell Wilson's. But I don't blame Russell. Here's what's happened in Seattle. When Pete Carroll left USC and went to the Seahawks those first 3 years, 2010, 2011, 2012, Pete knew the college game. He'd recruited all these guys. The Seahawks kicked everybody's butt in the draft. They were finding guys in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Great players, not good. But now as Pete has distanced himself from college, they've not done great. They don't have a Pro Bowler drafted since 2000. I think it is 2000. Let me look it up here. 2012. Last year's first round pick, I thought they reached on a running back. It was the richest running back draft in years. There was no reason to take a running back in the first round. There were plenty of good draft picks at running back in the second, third, fourth, and fifth round. I thought they reached, and they only have four draft picks at all this year. They have very little draft capital. So my concern is Aaron's making a fortune, but Green Bay's done a very good job to draft defense and go mid-level free agents, and I think Aaron's going to have a top 10 defense. I don't think it'll get in the way. In fact, I think Green Bay is going to win their division. Seattle has not drafted particularly well in the last several years. I thought they reached on their first-round pick last year, and I think it's going to get in the way of Russell Wilson winning games going forward. I also think he's in a tougher division. I'm not knocking. I'll never ask a pro athlete to not take the first opportunity. Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Dak Prescott. I mean, am I supposed to? Dak's been taking a discount for years. Now, I, as a Dallas Cowboy owner, would try to get the best deal I could. But if you think Dak's going to take a massive discount, it's very hard for me to tell any pro athlete. I can do this for 30 years. They're doing that for 12. I'm not going to ask a pro athlete take discounts. Now, year 9, year 10, year 12, you got rings, you got cash, you got endorsements, you got commercial. Then, like LeBron now, I think, is in concession territory. Don't squeeze for every penny. You've made $300 million playing basketball. You made $200 million on shoes. You're going to make another $500 million over the rest of your life at Nike. Take $6 million less a year and get a shooter. I mean, I think that's just, I think that's part of being a legend. I think you take, now in baseball, there's no salary cap. But in football and basketball and hockey, you know, if you're a star and you got $250 million in the bank, get a better right tackle. Get a better wing guard. It'll help you win games and improve your legacy. So the thing about Russell is I think he deserved it. I do think it will get in the way over the next 3 and 4 years of having that extra slot receiver, having that little better center. I think it'll hurt. I don't think it'll hurt Aaron as much because I think they've done a really good job in Green Bay defensively building this team. And I think they figured it out about 3 years ago. They're like, we got to pay Aaron a lot. We got to get this thing tight. They've gone heavy defense. And I think Green Bay's got some really, really good young defensive players. Okay. Ben, I got a lot. I can't wait to get home and just wait for the game. I'm so excited. So nice to win $1,000.
You know, sit around and do mock drafts until the game.
I just reach into my wallet. You know, this is just what I carry around in cash. This is what I carry around. I bet every penny of it. I'm going to show you my family pictures. That's a little too private.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Matt Barnes, 14 years in the NBA. So Patrick Beverley, a foot shorter, is all in on Kevin Durant. And I just said this earlier. You've heard the old saying, when people like, what's the saying I was using when you're, you live in a bubble. People will say about rich people. Well, they live in a bubble. They don't understand the real world. Warriors are a little bit of a basketball bubble. The perfect coach, the perfect GM, right. Steph's good. You got the bouncer and Draymond. I look at KD and I think Patrick Beverley's in your head. You know, when you go to New York, you're not going to have all this insulation you have in San Francisco. Could I make the argument when I watch Patrick Beverley get into KD's head, KD is kind of easy to disrupt sometimes briefly.
It depends on how you – I mean, I can understand your argument. He's still averaging 22 a game. I think he doesn't get the second team in the first game if it's a close game. I think he kind of did that to send like a little message. I think more than anything, I think the refs are a little too caught up in that matchup. I think they're kind of – this is the playoffs. It's going to be physical. There's going to be some grabbing. There's going to be some pushing. But they're trying to call every ticky-tack foul, and no one wants to see either of those guys fouled out. You know, it's better for the game for both those guys to be playing. But – you know, some would say he's in his head. I don't necessarily think he's in his head. I think KD, he's been very efficient both games, even though he shot eight times last game. I think he will, obviously, the 9 turnovers are what really stand out to me. But, for him to foul out the first time ever in his playoff career, like that was a flop right there. That fake little elbow, that was a flop. I think the refs got a little too caught up in the situation.
Okay, so the refs are too much into the individual battle.
That one-on-one individual battle, I think so.
Okay. What do you make of the Clippers? I mean, I got to tell you.
I love it.
If I'm Kawhi Leonard,
yeah,
aren't they just missing me?
To me, what they're doing right now is they're giving the Warriors a hell of a battle, like I thought they would. But they're making themselves the number one destination this summer. They have a great owner, great front office, and Lawrence Frank, Jerry West, one of the better coaches in the league. And they have all their role players set. The one thing I really liked about Doc when I played there is he always used to tell us, be a star in your role. You know, do what you do the best way you can do it, and you can tell all those guys are doing that. You know, you can't – Lou Williams is playing great. Harrell's playing great. The rookie hit a big shot last night. You know, Gallo's playing Gallo. So they are set up – they have a spot for 2 max free agents. So imagine – I'm just saying, you know, a KD and a Kawhi going there. I mean, that would – They're the 2020
Look at
champions.
That. You see Ballmer up there with Doc Rivers.
Oh, he's going crazy. You know, they had a camera on Ballmer the whole game, and I love that guy. You know, he's just so into it, patiently waiting. He couldn't hold his excitement in at the end. He just had to let it go. It was funny.
Yeah. Do they have any chance?
I don't think so. I think they're
no boogie now.
I definitely think they're going to be respected, and like I said, they're selling themselves as the number one destination. But I don't see the Warriors losing. This series, and I just think, you know, if they're fortunate enough to make it as far as they can, it's not going to be easy this third time around. They're going for a three-peat. Not going to be easy, so it's going to be a battle every single series.
Yeah, no, there's a real fatigue. I mean, there's a reason we've never had a 4-time champ. I mean, Michael Jordan at some point left basketball, and I remember reading stories about it. He was just
mentally
emotionally drained from
lot.
It. It's a star-driven league. So football, Brady can win, but it's about the system and the coach. And I always felt this about NBA guys. A football player, Julian Edelman, can put on a cap, go to Costa Rica.
And be fine.
NBA players can't disappear. Mm-mm. LeBron James goes, yeah, I'm going to get a coffee down the street. Who's the 6'9 dude? Oh, it's LeBron James. Yeah. Like, basketball is so star-driven that for the greatest players, where is Kevin Durant? In what neighborhood can Kevin Durant hide in the offseason? So I do think it just emotionally, it's just draining for these players.
Right.
Let me shift into this. Zach Lowe is a legitimate NBA reporter, had a podcast, and Zach Lowe came out and he said on his podcast with Woj, another legitimate guy, friend of mine, no, these are NBA guys, that it appeared to be an agent told Zach Lowe that there's two orbits with the Lakers. The Lakers orbit, and then there's the LeBron orbit. And powerful people in the league have said, listen, we don't want those orbits. We do not want to send our player to, quote, LeBron's team. So if you hire Ty Lue with LeBron, Anthony Davis, it's just LeBron's franchise. I always push back when people said, nobody wants to play with LeBron. And I thought, come on. D-Wade did, Bosch did, Kevin Lowe. I don't buy that. But there are tipping points. Could I not at least argue that LeBron sought power, he got it, and it may turn off a lot of dudes?
It's tough to say. I think any great franchise goes through their star players when they're going to do any kind of moves. I just think there's so much uncertain about their front office, whether people think LeBron is running the team. They've handed the keys, what it looks like, to Rob Pelinka. And throughout the league, he's not very well liked or respected. And you hear a lot of stuff about backstabbing when it comes to him. So to me, do you want LeBron? Do you trust LeBron or do you trust Rob? Or, you know, they're a situation now. So I don't know who is to blame in the situation. But at the end of the day, the players have a say over their agent. Their agent may not like it or want to send them.
Okay,
but at the end of the day,
you're a star.
Right.
Would you go there?
No, I'd go to the Clippers.
You'd go to the Clippers.
Yeah, if I'm a Kawhi or a
23
KD,
point a game.
Yeah,
max,
and I'm about
dude.
To get maxed. No, I'm going to go to the Clippers because
why?
There's just too much, like I said, uncertainty in the front. The front office scares me more than anything. Winning starts at the top. Absolute top. You can hire the best coach. You can give them another superstar. But if that management is not set and tight and understanding and everyone's on the same page, you're not going to go. Look at the Knicks. You're trying to say in the last however long they haven't had any good coaches, it starts at the top.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just if the front office is unstable, that scares me more than anything else that you can put together.
Okay, so I Joy's not going to like this, but I have to say this. Zion Williamson came out yesterday, and Zion Williamson said, I'm going to play in the NBA. Last year was the best year of my life, which is impossible because he was not paid. And, of course, basketball is no fun in college unless you're paid.
Mm-mm.
And I look at this and I think to myself, there's 370 Division I programs. That means there's 4,800 players. 9 will play pro ball. And they have to wait 9 months.
Insane, right?
I don't think you – now, by the way, I know we watch Duke and Kentucky and Kansas and the games are sold out. Most of those gyms are empty and these are not profit centers. I think college basketball was awesome for Zion.
Absolutely.
I think we've taken college – and I get guys wanting to get paid. I get it. But Zion Williamson can call for the rest of his life, Mike Krzyzewski, I need tickets. I need swag. I need advice. I need an agent. I need – and Mike's going to say, yes, 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 right. Yes, yes. I love that Zion Williamson's like, that was the best time I've ever had in my life.
Did you
like college?
1,000%. We talk about this all the time in this UCLA group chat. Outside of having kids, it was a dream come true to play in the NBA, but the best time of my life was at UCLA.
More than the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's your last. And getting to the NBA is a blessing and you get money, but a lot of responsibility comes with that. A lot, like you said, mentally draining. It mentally drains you.
Travel.
I was fortunate enough to play for 14 years. It's mentally draining to be a professional basketball player. Don't get me wrong. We get paid a lot of money, but college is your last time in that quote-unquote bubble when you're with your friends and you're going to class and you're flirting with girls before it all gets real, you know, really real. So I think – Zion was a great shot in the arm for college basketball as a whole this year. It was must because, to be honest with you, I hadn't watched college basketball. I couldn't tell you how long I'd watched the tournament, but I would never watch the regular season
games.
Well,
you and the rest of the country.
Right. You know what I mean? So he was must watch. Every chance I got, the twins and I were watching, you know, Zion.
Oh,
so
look at him. I love his video. I love watching him play.
And I think, you know, that this is on another point. This is why I think the NCAA is making a mistake not letting LaMelo Ball play college basketball. He'll be must watch to you. The NCAA needs players like this to draw. Like you said, eyeballs are down, you know, as far as watching college basketball during the regular season. You get a lament, you know, Zion was must-watch TV. They broke all kinds of numbers when he was on this year. And then, like, LaMelo would be the same kind of caliber next year of must-watch. You're going to watch all of LaMelo's games. So I think they're making a mistake not allowing him to play.
Quickly, last year I went a little overboard. I get very emotional, Matt. Sometimes I'm emotional. And last year Ben Simmons came out, and I said, that's the closest thing to Magic Johnson I've ever seen. Give me a break. 6'10 and a half guard. Sees the floor, dribble. He better defender than Magic was early. And now I watch him and I'm like, what do you do with Ben Simmons? He can't shoot outside 8 feet. What do I do with him? Was I too high and now I'm too low? I watched last night, and yet last night he played well, but God, night to night, I don't know what I get with him. What is Ben Simmons going forward?
I think as a whole, we just want everything so fast. You know, what is this, second year, third year?
Well, second year playing, third year he got hurt first year.
So second year, because you only learn while you're playing. To me, he just has to impose his will. I think he's letting the fact that he can't shoot and what everyone else is saying about it get him in his head. At the end of the day, he's going to be bigger, stronger than anybody else guarding him. So if they sag off, you got to attack, make plays for yourself, can't be afraid to get fouled and get to the foul line. He's not a very good free throw shooter, but you got to embrace getting to the foul line. And then you got to score it. You know what I mean? I think last night was a perfect – he imposed his will. And I put it on Twitter earlier in the day that he needed to impose his will. And that's what he did last night with the triple-double. You know, LeBron a little while to get a jump shot. Although his jump shot was, you know, further ahead than Ben Simmons' jump shot was.
Jason Kidd was pretty ugly early.
But these guys still attacked and made plays. You see at times when Draymond is not feeling his shot and they sag off, he's attacking, going into dribble handoffs, throwing lobs. He's still downhill attacking, putting pressure on the defense. I think Ben Simmons lets people off the hook when he's just very passive with the ball or doesn't want to possibly go to the basket and get fouled. So he has to embrace who he is, great player, still has work to do, obviously, with his jump shot, but he could still impose his will throughout this series. And Philly as a whole scares me from the standpoint of if they realize how talented they are.
Oh, my God. Outside of Golden State.
Name a better starting five. You can't.
You can't. If you give me Redick, Embiid, Butler, Simmons, who am I missing? Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
But Tobias Harris, people thought was going to get the max with the Clippers. He's their fourth best player.
Very talented. To answer the beginning of your question, what separates, you know, good from great is consistency, and Ben's not consistent yet. So once he becomes a consistent, I just think understands the game more. He's still young. It's still only his second year. But now, you know, now, like you said, name a better starting five. If they click, they can easily make the finals.
Yeah, I love watching Philly play.
They're fun.
Really, very fun to watch. Really fun to watch play. His name is Matt Barnes. Good seeing you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.